for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Hey, I want to share something with you really quickly and celebrate as a church. We have a Discover Anchor class, and if you have ever wondered, what's the path to membership? What is the path to becoming more involved in the church? Well, it is our Discover Anchor class is a big part of that. That's kind of our membership class where you learn more about the church, you hear about our vision, and what we hope to do, the work that we hope to do here in Freeport and beyond. So we had our Discover Anchor class last Sunday, and we had 9 people join the church last Sunday. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's why I bring that up. Not so that we can celebrate like, hey, we're doing such a great job. It's not about the numbers. It is about what God is doing. And so when we celebrate Him, not us. And when we have people go through that class, the question that I ask at the end of the class is, how did you hear about Anchor Church? And the number one response, every time we have this class, the number one response is, I heard about it from someone who is part of the church. Someone invited me, someone told me about it. And so I want you to know that when you share with people, when you invite people, it makes a difference. And sometimes it feels like, well, yeah, I'm just here and I can't do as much as I want to for the church. I can't participate as much. Well, when you invite people, the Lord is working through you. Again, it's not about the numbers. It's not about how many people we have here. It is about Jesus and helping others grow to be more like Jesus. And when people are here, we can see God do that. So thank you for inviting people. Continue to do it, and God will continue to work through us. There are sayings that have been passed down that are meant to teach you a lesson. These sayings are short, they're memorable, and they're intended to help you avoid pain and heartache and prison, you know, things like that. You've heard some of these before. I know for a fact you have, and I bet that you remember some of them. For instance, better safe than, sorry, you know that one. You know, another one is, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Yeah, and then this one is, specifically when you're working with something dangerous, handle with sarcasm is how people typically take that. But yeah, handle with care. These sayings are meant to help you so that you don't have to go through something that you wish you didn't. Someone recently shared with me a story that made me appreciate these sayings, especially that last one, handle with care. This person was making something and it required a bunch of ingredients. One of those ingredients was a pepper. And that pepper was the kind of pepper that you would get a stomach ache and you would get heartburn just by looking at it. You don't even have to eat it. It was one of those really spicy ones. So he's working with this and he has an itch, and not even thinking about it, he reaches up and he scratches right beside his eye. Well, it didn't take long before he felt like there was molten lava just being poured in his eye. So for the next 30 minutes, he rinsed and he cried and he thought about every decision he made in his life up to that point and had a lot of regret. But the moral of the story is, handle with care. That was a lesson he learned the hard way. Have you ever learned a lesson the hard way? Oh, yeah, you have. You've got the scars and the stories to prove it. All of us have learned lessons the hard way. And we would rather learn lessons the easy way. We're in a study of the book of Jude right now, which is all about your faith. And as we look at Jude 5 through 7, we are going to learn your lesson. It's all about this lesson that we need to learn. It's a 3-part lesson, which hopefully will keep us from learning this lesson the hard way. So we're going to look at your 3-part lesson this morning. Let's look at the first part of your lesson. Number one, remember what you know. Remember what you know. We have a puppy at home, and we are trying to teach that puppy not to bite. Yeah, it's difficult, and by difficult, I mean impossible, you know. We might as well trying to be teaching the puppy to do our taxes for us. That's what it feels like. It's just very hard. And so we do everything that you're supposed to do. You know, we correct her when she bites. We make her bite something that she's allowed to bite. We praise her when she stops biting. We do all of the things that Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, says that you're supposed to do. Well, I am here to tell you this morning Caesar is a fraud. It does not work. I mean, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's difficult, but we're working on it. It's a cycle that we see all the time. Here's what will happen. She will bite. We will correct her. She'll sit up, look very remorseful, and have a moment of deep self-reflection. And then, bam, 3 seconds later, she bites again. And we go through that cycle over and over and over. It happens. Now, it's not that she doesn't know she's not supposed to bite. We have taught her that. She knows, but it's like she forgets all the time. It's like her memory is too short. She forgets what she knows over and over and over again. Now, some of you are like, well, Sean, this is your fault. You know, like you're the owner. Here, you want your dog to stop biting? It's easy. Replace her with a cat. Then the dog won't bite you anymore. The point is that she forgets what she knows. I'd like to say it's just dogs who do this, but it's not true. You know that we do it as well. Look with me at Jude 5. It says, now I want to remind you, although you came to know all these things once and for all, that Jesus saved a people out of Egypt and later destroyed those who did not believe. We are prone to forget, aren't we? We're prone to forget the gospel truth that we know, that we believe. That is why Jude reminds us to remember what we know. He said, I remind you, although you came to know all these things once and for all. He's saying, remember what you know. And the people that Jude originally wrote this to, they were in a tough spot. These false teachers had come into the church and they were saying, hey, that gospel that you have been told, that stuff about God and about Jesus, it's just a little bit off. And so, yes, Jesus saved you. Yes, Jesus is Lord. But what does that really mean after all? What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? And don't think about it too much, because I have good news for you. Here's the good news. Jesus wants you to do whatever you want. Here's a message from Jesus. If it feels good, do it. In fact, he doesn't care how you live, so if it feels good, do it. That's what these false teachers were saying. That is bad teaching. That is not biblical. And this bad teaching was ruining people's lives. They didn't understand what they were supposed to believe. Oh, thank you. They didn't understand what they were supposed to believe. They were beginning to think, is God right? Is what I believe true? Is the Bible correct on all of this stuff? And so Jude writes to them, and Jude says, remember what you know. He says, again, I wrote to remind you, although you came to know all these things once and for all. That's what he's telling them. Remember what you know. And that is what God is telling you today. Remember what you know. But you might be thinking to yourself right now, I just don't see what the big deal is. Okay, I agree generally with the principles of Christianity. That's good enough. Yeah, maybe I don't get everything right. Maybe I forget a little over here. Maybe I'm really not good. I don't believe as I should in this area, but it's fine. Like, my life is not going to fall apart because of it. I'm not going to die because I forget a little bit. You might be a little relaxed when it comes to remembering what you know. You might feel a little safe. You might think it doesn't matter. Now, friends, listen to me. We have to remember what we know, or we will be vulnerable to confusions about God and ourselves. We have to remember what we know, or we will be vulnerable to confusions about God and ourselves. I've heard people, not just one person, I've heard several people say something like this. Well, I know what the Bible says about marriage. I know that the New Testament says that marriage is a picture of the gospel. It is a picture of how Jesus relates to us. You know, I've been thinking about it. I don't think God wants me to be married to this person anymore. Now, they haven't been unfaithful to me, but we argue all the time, and, you know, we don't have the same interest, and we're just not in love anymore, so I am going to divorce my spouse. But the Bible says marriage is a gospel issue. It is part of our faith. The Bible says that it is a picture of how Jesus is committed to us. And so that's something we need to remember. But you know how it is. When things happen in life, when you get uncomfortable, when things happen that you don't want to happen, you begin to question what you know. You begin to forget what you know. You see the danger there? We must remember what we know. Because if we don't, we are opening ourselves up to a world of hurt and suffering. So remember what you know. That's why it's important to read your Bible. It's why it's important to know your Bible. It's why we teach the Bible here. It's why we repeat things over and over and over. Because we need to remember what we know. We need to know the deep truths of God and be reminded of them, because there will be things presented to us in life that cause us to question what is right and what is true. When we are faced with temptation to rebel against God, when we are presented teachings that don't really show us God's truth, when we have thoughts and feelings that don't line up with the gospel, then we need to remember what we know. And if we don't know God's word, if we don't know the Bible, if we don't know our faith, then we will be open to misunderstandings. And those misunderstandings are dangerous. They can ruin our lives. We have to remember what we know in order to stand up to temptation. Learn that lesson the easy way. Because if you don't, you will be in for a world of hurt. Remember what you know. That's the first part of your lesson. There's a second part of the lesson that God is teaching you through these verses. It's number two. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now Jude starts getting into what we're supposed to remember. He has told us to remember what we know, and now he's getting into what that is exactly. And what does he start with? Well, he starts with the most important thing. You always start with the most important thing. I grill stuff from time to time. One time I was grilling something like hamburgers and hot dogs, and I generally know how to do that. You know, you start the grill, you get the meat out, you put the meat on the grill, you watch until it catches on fire, and then you take it off and you eat it, even though it tastes like smoke. I know how to grill, you know? So one time I do this, and I put the meat on the grill, and after a while I realize something's off. The meat is not on fire. The meat is not cooking at all. So I begin to search around. It doesn't take long for me to realize, oh, it's because the grill is not on. I skipped the first step. And guess what? The first step in grilling is the most important step. You know what the most important thing to do when you're going to grill meat is? Turn the grill on. And I didn't do that. You start with the most important thing. Jude starts with the most important thing. What does he start with? What is most important to him? Look at it. Jude 5. Now I want to remind you, although you came to know all these things once and for all, that Jesus saved a people out of Egypt. Here's what Jude starts with. Jesus saves. He shows us this. Jesus saves. And he reminds us of this truth by going back to the story of the Israelites in Exodus. They were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And then God said that he would deliver them. He sent someone to lead them out of Egypt and into this land that he promised them. And as they are heading out of Egypt, the Egyptians change their mind. And so they send the army after them to re-enslave them and bring them back. But right then, God sends this terrible, mighty wave to absolutely crush the Egyptian army. God saved them. And this is what Exodus 14:30 says about that event. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the power of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. You see what happened? God saved them. And Jude uses the story of what God has done to remind us of this truth. Jesus saves. He didn't just save the Israelites. He didn't just save people back then. Jesus saves even now. Jesus saves us. That's what he does. And we need to remember that before we remember anything else. Jesus saves. Every week, every Sunday, when we gather, we sing songs, we study the Bible, we pray, and the entire message of our gatherings, the entire thing that we are trying to communicate, the entire point of our of our worship services week in and week out is this: Jesus saves. Here's why that's important to know. Because there are a lot of rules in the Bible. And you can pick up the Bible, you can start seeing all these rules, you can read them, you can even memorize them. And then you can come to church and you can hear, as we study the Bible, more rules that God has laid out for us. And those are important. We should listen to those. Those are instructions from God. But here's what can happen. You can begin to think that that is what Christianity is all about. You can begin to hear that the message of Christianity is live this way, not that way. So let me be very clear about that. That is not the message of Christianity. If we could boil down our entire message as a church, if we could boil down the entire message of Christianity into two words, it is this: Jesus saves. You need to remember that. Jesus saves. That means you can't save yourself from your sin. It means that you can't do enough good to rescue yourself from the judgment you deserve. It means that you can't live right enough to earn God's love. You can't change yourself enough to make up for the bad that you have done. But here is the gospel. Here is the good news. Jesus saves. It won't be long before the season that we all dread is here. I'm talking, of course, about spring break. Yeah, I know you're looking forward to it. It's the time, the magical time of year, where our roads turn into parking lots, our restaurants into waiting rooms, and then our beaches turn into musical chairs, but you're always out. You know, there's never a chair for you. And inevitably, this happens all the time. A family will come down for spring break, and a dad will get in the water. And as he is swimming in the water, he will be caught in the riptide. And as he's caught, he's going to struggle against it. He's going to wear himself out. And then he will begin to fall under the waves. And he will begin to drown. But usually, the lifeguard sees this and gets out there and saves that man. So imagine this happens. It happens to a guy who is at the beach, but his wife is not with him. So he takes the kids to the beach for a few hours. And after a while, he decides that he's going to get in the water. And that happens to him. He starts to go under. He starts to struggle to survive. And as he is about to take his last breath, as he is about to pass out, the lifeguard comes out and saves him. Okay, and then he goes home, or goes to the hotel where his wife is waiting, and she says, "Hey, how's the beach today? I mean, tell me about it. What happened?" And he goes, "Well, I mean, it was fine, I guess. You know, we were there for a long time. I got pretty dehydrated. I got a headache right now, and we threw the frisbee a little bit. Kids made sandcastles. They were pretty good. Then they started throwing sand at each other. That wasn't good. I had to put them in timeout. We ate some of that food that you packed us, but the kids grabbed it right after they had been in the water, and it got everything all soggy. It was pretty disgusting. Water temperature was good, so a little sunburn, but yeah, you know, pretty good day. Guess that's about it." Wouldn't you expect one of the kids to go, "Dad, don't you remember what happened? Like, you were drowning, and the lifeguard saved you." And wouldn't you expect a kid to say that? And then you would expect the wife to go, "Wait a minute. You almost died, and someone saved you. And you don't remember that? Well, I guess it makes sense why you never remember our anniversary. Apparently, you don't remember anything." And the child and the wife would be right to ask that. Because if you almost died, and then you were saved, you would remember that. If you almost drowned but you were saved, that would be the most memorable thing that happened at the beach that day. Well, friend, listen to me. If you have faith in Jesus, you were drowning and Jesus saved you. Jesus saved you. If you're going to remember one thing, it is this: Jesus saves. We can't forget that. We can't fall into thinking that Christianity is about how we live. Christianity is about what we do. Christianity is about the rules that we live by. No, we must remember it is about this: Jesus saves. He saved you from your sin, and he is saving you even now from sin. You did nothing to earn this salvation. It is all Jesus. And now, as your Savior, he has the right to tell you how to live. And you should follow his instruction, because when you do, you will find that he is saving you. He is saving you from a life ruled by sin. He is saving you from a life of purposelessness. He is saving you from a life enslaved to fleeting pleasures. He is saving you from brokenness. Jesus saves. That is part of your lesson. So that's the second part of the lesson that God is teaching us. And then there is a third part that he teaches. It's number three, judgment is real. Judgment is real. Here's our temptation. We think that since Jesus saves, since it's not about anything that we have done, it's all about what he has done for the forgiveness of our sins, we then try to make an argument for why that means we can live however we want to live. We say, Jesus saves, so I can do whatever I want. I can sin however I want, and then Jesus will save me from that sin. Jesus saves, so I can get drunk all I want. Jesus saves so I can ignore what the Bible says about being generous. Jesus saves so I can hold grudges against others. Jesus saves so I can look at explicit material. Jesus saves so I can lie to get what I desire. Jesus saves so I can do all these bad things while I'm young and just get it out of my system. We think that because Jesus saves, we can sin and it doesn't matter. So we can sin all we want. Well, listen to what Jude says about this. Jude 5 through 7. Look at it with me. Now, I want to remind you, although you came to know all these things once and for all, that Jesus saved a people out of Egypt and later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their own position but abandoned their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains and deep darkness for the judgment on the great day. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns committed sexual immorality and perversions and serve as an example by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Jude says that Jesus saves. Like, that is absolutely true. But then right after that, he talks about how Jesus judged. One of the examples that he gives is the people who came out of Egypt and did not believe that God was really their Savior, did not believe that God would give them what he had promised them. Those people were destroyed. They died in the wilderness before the Israelites inherited the land that God promised them. God judged them. And then he talks about these angels who sinned, these angels who rebelled against God. God judged them. And then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, these two towns that were full of people that were perverted. They were burned up with fire. God judged them. So he gives three examples of how God judges. And this is what he's telling us. Judgment is real. Judgment for sin is real. It was real back then. He shows it in these stories, and it is real now. God will judge you if you continue in sin, if you do not submit to him. Judgment is real. So learn that lesson from them. You can't live however you want to live without consequence. If you continue to sin against God, if you don't repent, if you don't turn from your sin, you don't change, you don't stop, judgment will find you. This is not some made-up story to control you. This is not some way of making you fall in line. It is a warning to teach you a lesson. Stop sinning because it leads to judgment. And judgment is real. Imagine you're running late to meet a friend. And you know you're cutting it close, so you make the brilliant decision to turn your vehicle into a NASCAR entry. You get in your car and you think to yourself, hey, you know what, I'm going to speed, you know, I'm going to stretch the speed limit a little bit. I am sure that I'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen? So you take off down the road, and as you are driving, you pass one of those big radar signs, you know, that flashes your speed limit at you. And as you pass it, it's practically screaming at you, hey, slow down. But you think to yourself, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's just what is it going to print me a ticket? Like, I'm okay. And so you keep driving, keep speeding. And you then pass, like, up ahead, you see a police officer who has pulled somebody else over. And so you do what everybody else does. You know, you slow down and pretend like you have never done anything wrong in your life. You know, you even nod at the police officer like, "Morning, officer, nothing to see here." But once you are out of sight, you get back into your fast and furious mode. You take off. You think that this road is your track. And then you get a phone call. You pick it up and it's your friend, and they sound very upset, very annoyed. And you say, "Hey, what's going on?" And they say, "I'm going to be a little late. I'm sorry. I was speeding and I got pulled over. And I mean, it was my fault. Like, I know I shouldn't have been doing it, but the ticket is $400. I just can't believe I did this. So I'll see you in a little bit." Well, it's like a bucket of cold water was thrown in your face. Like, all of a sudden, it's real. It's no longer just a big blinking sign. It's no longer a busy cop that's not going to come after you. No, someone you know is dealing with the consequences that you have been pretending don't exist. Now you understand judgment is real, and it has caught up with your friend. So you have a lesson that you can learn the easy way. You can learn it through them. Judgment is real. Friend, out of concern for your soul, as one of your pastors who loves you and cares about you, let me ask you a question. What sin is there in your life? Judgment is real. What sin do you need to repent of today? Is it dishonesty or selfishness? Is it pride or gossip? Drunkenness or complaining? Is it worldliness or hypocrisy? Is it unforgiveness or impatience? Laziness or lust? Bitterness or greed? What sin is in your life right now that you need to repent of? There is sin there. You need to repent of it. Just like there is sin in my life, there is sin in your life that needs to be repented of. Sometimes we get really used to sin. Sometimes we get comfortable with it. Sometimes we get cozy with it. Sometimes we become blind to it. So search your life. What do you need to repent of today? The Lord has given you this lesson. Judgment is real, and it is coming for you if you don't turn from your sin. So repent of it today. Confess your sin to God and be done with it, because judgment is real. That is the third and final part of your lesson that we see here. I know you're like me. I know that you have learned lessons the hard way. Well, God gives us a lesson here that we can learn a different way. It's a three-part lesson. Remember what you know. Jesus saves, and judgment is real. If we learn this lesson, then we will avoid the heartache and the pain that it brings with it. We will walk with joy and peace and purpose that God has for us. We don't have to bear the consequences of ignoring His word and living in rebellion. So let's learn this lesson today, and let's do it before we have to learn it the hard way. But ultimately, we learn this lesson not just by looking at these verses. We learn this lesson by looking to Jesus, who did it the hard way for us. Only Jesus could do the work that was so hard, so costly, and yet so necessary. And if we look to Him, our hearts are changed, and we truly learn this lesson. So look to Jesus today. When we look to Jesus, we see that judgment is real. Jesus took our sin on Himself. He gave His life as a sacrifice. And as He suffered on the cross, His brutal, excruciating death showed us that God's judgment is real, that sin has consequences. But the beauty of the gospel, the good news is this: Jesus took the judgment so that we don't have to. And when we look to Jesus, we see that Jesus saves. It is only through His sacrificial death, His burial, and His glorious resurrection 3 days later. It is only through that that we are saved from sin and its consequences. Jesus paid for our sin with His life. He was buried in the grave, and then He rose up from the grave. And when He rose up from the grave, He showed that He has power over sin and death, that He beats sin and death. He proved that He has the power to save us completely. If he has the power to conquer death, he has the power to save you and me. And when we look to Jesus, we are able to remember what we know. We struggle so much with forgetting the truth, don't we? Well, Jesus didn't leave us to struggle alone. Instead, after he rose from the grave, he ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of what we know. He reminds us of the gospel, the good news that we are saved by grace, that Jesus gave his life for us. And now that Jesus is showing us how to live, and his instruction leads us to life. The Holy Spirit reminds us of this. Because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, we can remember what we know. So friend, learn this lesson today by looking to Jesus, your Savior. Is he your Savior? If you've never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, then the answer to that is no. You have sinned just like the rest of us, and you will face judgment for the wrong that you have done unless you trust in Jesus. He stands offering you salvation freely. So come to God now and say, I know I have done wrong, but forgive me because of Jesus. And if you trust in who Jesus is and what he has done for your forgiveness, then you will be saved. So if you know that I'm talking to you today, if you can feel the Lord stirring in your heart, don't resist it. Trust in Jesus now and experience this salvation. We are going to sing a song here in just a minute, and as we are singing, I'm going to be standing right down here waiting for you. And as everybody else leaves at the end of the service, I'm going to be standing down here waiting to talk with you. So come, let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus. Let's talk about what it means to experience his salvation. But don't leave here today without trusting in him and being saved. So we are going to respond to what we have heard, to this lesson that God has taught us, by singing his praises. And as we sing, maybe you need to respond in a specific way. Maybe you need to respond by reminding yourself of the truth of the gospel, that God has saved you, he loves you, and you are his forever. Maybe you need to just adore Christ, who gave his life to save you. Or maybe you need to confess your sin to God, the sin that you've been ignoring or coddling, that is inviting his judgment on you. Maybe you need to confess it to him right now. Maybe you need to thank God for his grace and thank him for teaching you. Or maybe you need to trust in Jesus for salvation right now. So I'm going to pray, and then we are going to sing, and let's respond in our hearts as we sing. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your grace. We are prone to learning things the hard way, Lord. We are stubborn. We are hard-headed. We fail to remember what we know. Remind our hearts now, Lord. Teach us this lesson. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here right now who has not trusted in Jesus for salvation, I ask, Lord, that you would grab a hold of their heart. You would show them their sin, their need for a Savior. Show them what Jesus has done for sinners. Show them the glory that is in Jesus, the salvation that can be theirs if they trust in him now. Lord, may we respond to what you have taught us. Let this be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.